Alright. I'll be begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to learn from thy word, word that is firmly fixed in heaven. Breathe by God, help us to understand thy word according to the fullness of the Spirit. For that we commit each and everyone to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for listening our prayers in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. All right. Last week, for some reason, my PowerPoint was not behaving the way I expected. Looks like this seems to be a little better. Hope it will stay there. Last week, we were discussing about the greatness of salvation from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Our salvation is so great, it is because we found four reasons from that portion. Number one, we have a great Savior. Number two, the new covenant has a greater judgment. Number three, our salvation is so great, it is because it is provided by triune God. And today we are going to look into that a little more specifically from that. Number four, we got the story of redemption in the form of manuscript that is New Testament. And this morning I wanted to look into very specifically the work of triune God in the process of salvation. For that, I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let's read that first, then we will take it from there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this portion. Mainly, I'll be focusing on verse 2, but I want to take a couple of minutes to look into verse 1 also as an introduction. When we consider verse 1, we can see five places there. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Five places. And if you consider these five places geographically, some of the Bibles have got maps at the end. If you look into that, you'll see that though these are five places, these are four provinces. The first one, Pontus, and the last one, Bithynia, these two are same province. So five places, four provinces. And you can see that these five places or four provinces are north to the Mediterranean Sea. And you can see that Paul's missionary journey routed towards the south of Mediterranean Sea. And these five places are north to the Mediterranean Sea. And Peter addressed this epistle to those who reside in that area. It is generally believed that Peter focused his ministry in those areas, and we are not sure about that. There is no evidence for that. But we can see that this particular epistle, Peter addressed to believers, those who reside in those areas. However, the description about those believers are very, very interesting. You can see that two words are highlighted there. They are strangers and they are scattered. Strangers and scattered. Strangers. In order to understand the word, we may need to think a little bit graphically. We know that believers, those who are in Islamic countries such as Iran, Iraq, or Saudi Arabia, in an expatriate status, those who are coming from other countries to work there, they are known as aliens or strangers. It is because they don't get all the facilities like local people get it, because they are holding a foreign passport. They are less privileged people. In this context, I don't know why they are called strangers, probably because of gospel or whatever reasons. They are less privileged people. And another description, we can see that they are scattered. They are scattered. Even if they are less privileged, if they are together, they can say that, well, we have a strength. But here, that is not the case. They are scattered. They are scattered. They are weak. They are weak. So less privileged and weak people. When we come down to verse 6 of the same chapter, we can see another description there. There we read that they are suffering people, suffering people. There we read that they're grieved by various trials. They're grieved by various trials. Why? Verse 7. To test the genuineness of their faith. To test the genuineness of their faith, they're grieved by various trials. So three descriptions we can see here. Number one, they are strangers, less privileged. Number two, they are weak. They are weak people. Number three, they are suffering people, grieved people, grieved people. But when we read five chapters of 1 Peter, we can see that Peter is trying to encourage them, motivate them over and over again. We can see that concept over and over again. But you know what is the very first thing Peter brought forth to encourage them? Verse 2. Verse 2. The story of redemption. The story of redemption. That's what we are going to look into that a little more specifically this morning. But before we go there, let me tell you this. In our Christian journey, in our sojourn, we may come to a junction where we may get isolated. We may get alienated. We may come to a stage of separation and grief. But the story of redemption, if that doesn't motivate you, if that doesn't encourage you, if that doesn't rejuvenate you, if that doesn't empower you, there is something seriously wrong with our salvation. We should be able to rejoice in our salvation irrespective of whatever situations we are in. That's what the verse 1 shows us. Let's look into verse 2 a little more specifically. All right, let's read verse 2 one more time. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit. For obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. A beautiful, beautiful verse. It is because it gives us an idea of the work of triune God in the process of salvation. Work of God the Father, work of Holy Spirit, and work of Jesus Christ. More specifically, number one, God the Father elected us, elected us. Number two, sanctification of the Spirit. Holy Spirit sanctified us. Number three, sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to repeat that. It is because next 3 weeks, including today, we will be looking only on these three words. Number one, God the Father elected us, elected us. Number two, Holy Spirit sanctified us. Number three, sprinkling by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I specifically wanted to look into the word election, election. We know that this is a big word. Volumes of books we can see on the basis of this one word. And we have got barely 20 minutes. We can draw a high-level sketch on this. Election of God. Let's read that verse one more time. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Let's stop there. God the Father elected us. Let's begin with a question. When we think about our salvation, who is the first person coming in our mind? God the Father, Holy Spirit, or Jesus Christ? Who is the first person coming in our mind? Jesus Christ. That is correct. In our worship meeting also, we can see the same thing. There is nothing wrong in that thought process. It is because Son of God is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And He is the one who crucified. He is the one agonized and paid our debt. And this morning we heard that man cannot redeem his brother. Why? Because it's costly. It is costly. And Jesus Christ paid that debt. And because of that, there is nothing wrong with that thought process. There is nothing wrong in the thought process. But when we consider the work of salvation, it did not begin with Son. But it all began with God the Father. I'm not trying to separate or segregate the work of God. They are always together. But when we consider the work of salvation, it all began with God the Father. When is that happened? When is that when that decision came in? We cannot put that specific time. Very, very familiar words, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. There we read that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. God the Father chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. When there was nothing, when there was no universe, no angels, when there was nothing, God the Father elected us in Jesus Christ. C.S. Spurgeon once said that, "Thank God that He elected me before the foundation of the world. What if He waited till my birth? What if He waited till my life and evaluated that? I wouldn't be here." God elected us before the foundation of the world. What was the criteria? What was the criteria behind that? I'm so excited to talk about this. It is because I want to read from Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Before I read that, as a side note, I want to recommend you to study in your personal study Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. At one point of time, I was going through the book of Romans. When I came to this portion 9 to 11, I titled that study as 9-11. You know what is 9-11 in America, right? It is an emergency number. Because these three chapters talks about the will of God, the sovereignty of God. I strongly believe that knowing and understanding the sovereignty of God is so critical in our Christian life. It is very, very important in our Christian life. You know how that chapter 11 concludes? Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. All I want to say, amen to that. Amen to that. Chapter 9 to 11 talks about the sovereignty of God. Let's read this verse. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. There we read that Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Born from same parents, pretty much same time, brought up in the same family, same community, everything pretty much same. But here we read that God loved Jacob, but hated Esau. Oh, hold on for a minute. In this small verse, I can see two big surprises. Two big surprises. You know the first one? God hated Esau. Huh. Is that one of the attributes of God? God can hate someone? I don't know. I cannot answer that. I cannot answer that. If you're that curious, you may need to hold that question until you reach the other shore. I cannot answer that. But you know what is the real surprise? God loved Jacob. That is a real surprise. That is a real surprise. Is he lovable? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Cheater. Supplanter. But God loved Jacob. That is a real surprise. Now, what was the criterion to begin with? Is that a fair decision? Is that a right decision? In fact, that question is given in the same chapter, chapter 9, verse 40. Let me read that for you. Romans chapter 9, verse 40. There we read that, what shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? The answer, by no means. By no means. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Compassion of God, mercy of God. That is the criteria. That is the only criteria. Dear brothers and sisters, I can see many issues wherever I go in my workplace and many places, I can see many issues around me. I don't know much about them, but one thing I do know that I can feel and experience the love of God in my life every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can feel and experience the love of God every day. I do know that God loved me. Yes. You know what is the reason? It is not because I am lovable. It is not because I have done anything good. It is not because any of my merits. It is because of the mercy of God. It is because of the compassion of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was the only criteria. That was the only criteria. I want to go a little more further here. That word election is coming from vendor's place, marketplace. What that means is, just imagine you are going to a marketplace to pick something, whatever it is, tomato, mango, whatever it is. When you go there, how do? You pick few from a huge collection. When you do that, you will be very careful because you wanted to get best from the collection. You wanted to get the best from the collection. That is called worldly standard. Worldly standard that we can see in 1 Corinthians. But when God elected the foolish one. God elected the weak. God elected the low and despised. That's what I'm here. That is the reason why I am here. It is because when I come to the presence of God, I have nothing to boast. All I can say, it is because of your mercy and it is because of your compassion. And God elected us before the foundation of the world with his compassion and his mercy. I want to go a little more further here. I want to come back to the verse again. I want to read that one more time. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge. Another big word. Foreknowledge. We need to be very, very careful with this word. It is because this word made so much of confusion among the believers. What is the meaning of this word? Foreknowledge. Foreknow, beforeknow, ability to know ahead of time. Is that the meaning? Tomorrow, how it will look like, I don't know, but God can. Is that the meaning? If that is the meaning, doctrinally, we are in very dangerous place. We are in danger. No doubt about that. That is not the, that is true, but that is not the meaning. The meaning here is that prognosko, foreordained, prognosko, the word prognosko meaning foreordained, that's what the meaning is. I've given two verses there. I wanted to read at least one of them. He has foreknown before the foundation of the world. Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Jesus was foreordained, appointed before the foundation of the world. That's what the meaning is. If this is hard for you, if this is difficult for you, if this is not clear to you, no worries. Let's break it down. Okay? Let's break it down. When we say the word know, K-N-O-W, that is coming from the word knowledge, right? So without know, there is no knowledge. Without know, there is no knowledge. So the word know is coming from a deep love relationship. The word know is coming from deep love relationship. In eternity past, God the Father, with his deep love relationship, appointed us. That's what the meaning is. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. In love, he predestined us. In love, he appointed us. Now, what is the depth of the love? Maybe it is difficult for us to understand. Maybe some examples can help us to understand that word. Some examples. So we are going to go through some examples and we are going to close here. Example number one. Depth of the word love. Sorry, the word know or new, K-N-E-W. Genesis chapter 4 verse 1. Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bore Cain. Did you see the depth of that? The depth of the word new, deep love relationship. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. One more example. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. There we read that. Sorry, is that clear enough? There we read that. We know Joseph and Mary. Mary conceived by Holy Spirit. And God, angel of the Lord, revealed that truth to Joseph. Let's read from 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, verse 25, but knew her not. Until she had given birth to a son. You see the depth of that word neo here? Deep love relationship. One more. Matthew chapter 7, 22. This is from Olivet Discourse. Talking about the last days. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. What is the meaning of this verse? I don't know you. I don't know what is your name. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know your address. Is that the meaning? If that is the meaning, attributes of God itself is in question. That's not the meaning. The meaning here is that I know you very well. You workers of lawlessness. I know that your work is lawlessness. I know you very well. But I never established a deep love relationship with you. That's what the meaning is. Deep love relationship. One more. Philippians chapter 10, 3 verse 10. I want to know the power of his resurrection so that I may know him. We know that Paul encountered his life with God on the way to Damascus. He came to know God there, and God equipped him to establish many churches, and he was instrumental for writing many epistles. But when he came to the book of Philippians, he said that I want to know the power of his resurrection so that I may know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection so that I may know the depth of his love. That's what the meaning is. May we also pray just like this so that we may get a glimpse of that love. I want to know the power of his resurrection so that I may know the depth of his love. I wanted to close here. I wanted to recap. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This is the beginning of salvation. This is the beginning of salvation. Before I close, I wanted to say one more verse. He who began a good work in you. Can you complete that? He who began a good work in you, can you? Will bring it to completion. Praise be to his name. This is the beginning of our salvation. Next week, because of the missionary conference, I'll be taking a break. Then after the week, after next week, I'll continue with the same subject. Shall we look to the Lord? Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, we thank you. Thank you for this time together to learn from the scripture. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your election. You elected us before the foundation. You elected us. You established a deep love relationship with us before the foundation of the world. It is not because of any of our ability. It is not because we have done anything good. It is because of your mercy, and it's because of your compassion. Along with Paul, we also wanted to say that we want to know the power of your resurrection so that we may know the depth of your love. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion, and we know that. Thank you for the assurance you have given in our life through the word of God, and we praise God. As we depart from here, we pray that your presence may be with us. Continue to watch over and protect us. Thank you, Lord, for listening our prayers. In Jesus Christ's precious name.